Hello and welcome to another episode of the Daily Remedy Podcast. Today we're here with Dr. Nena Unachukwu. Dr. Unachukwu is a best-selling author of the Entire MD Method, host of the Entire MD Podcast, and a member of the Forbes Business Council. She helps physicians achieve professional autonomy and financial independence by training them to be entrepreneurs. Her website is entiremd.com, E-N-T-R-E-M-D.com. And with that, I'd like to welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Well, certainly, we've been looking forward to this as well. Now, one of the things you emphasize is the difference between a physician and entrepreneur, and rather the similarities and differences between a physician and entrepreneur. Explain that divide and explain how you bridge that.
Yeah, so first of all, my bias is that as physicians, we're all entrepreneurs. We just haven't embraced it yet. And when you look at, you know, our training, we really are trained to be employees. We are trained to stay in our lane. We are trained to be one-trick ponies. It's not some conspiracy or anything. That's just the way that it is. But as physicians, you know, when I talk about all of us, you know, owning a business, like being entrepreneurs, the truth of the matter is, you know, we are the CEOs of Dr. Me Incorporated, right? Like I'm the CEO of Dr. Una Incorporated. That is an entity. That is a brand. That is a business. And whether we're using that as employed physicians to learn how to negotiate, get a scribe, you know, we've had so many people use it in different ways, or leverage speaking, or you want to start doing events, or you want to be a coach, or you want to do private practice, like you can leverage what you have as a physician to do that. And so we're only, you know, the bridge between physician and physician entrepreneur is just a set of business skills. That's all. And it doesn't matter that we didn't have a business education, we can learn. It doesn't matter if we're introverts. These are skills and not personality types. It doesn't matter if we're private people. You can be very private and have a thriving business. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter at all. But in the times that we're in, I think it's just risky to think that somebody else will take care of our careers or somebody else will make sure we have the capacity to serve, you know, patients the way we want to and earn the way we want to. It's time to take that back into our own hands.
Awesome. I want to delve a little bit into semantics, but I think this would be very instructive in what you're trying to do. Oftentimes when people talk about physician entrepreneurship, they refer to physician autonomy, a sense of independence. In your sense, you're referring to entrepreneurship in a more business sense, where you're focusing on new career trajectories, new forms of cash flow. For those who may not understand the difference, can you explain why that form of entrepreneurship really leads to what we can call in modern times autonomy?
Yeah, so the thing is this, the greatest form of autonomy is really being in control of how you serve, being in control of how you earn, right? It's not just autonomy, you know, at a particular job or autonomy at a different season. It's really owning that. And the way to, you know, get your autonomy back is to own your career. As long as somebody else is in control of the trajectory, then you're not really in control. And if you're not in control of your earning ability, then you're not really in control. And so when I talk about entrepreneurship, if you think about it, everybody has that opportunity. Like even if you are a neurosurgeon and you're like, I love my job and I want to be in the hospital, I never want to own a private practice, I never want to be a coach, I never want to do any of those things. When you own your brand, right, it means that if you see yourself as a business, it means even when you come to the negotiating table and somebody tells you this is the fifth committee I want you to be on that I'm not going to pay you to be on, you make an executive CEO decision like this does not work for my business, which is very different from I have to take whatever, you know, people give me. And because you understand the language of business, there are things you're able to negotiate for. So I've had many clients who with them, they're just like, I speak at all these places. I speak on CNN, I speak at local events, and because of that, we have so many, patients who are coming to this practice. So it's not to your advantage for me to be working 5 days a week. I want to work 4 days a week. And the C-suite approved it because this is a business conversation. This is a conversation with an employee who understands that I am an entrepreneur, right? Or they say, hey, do you know if you give me a scribe, I can see three extra patients a day. And I'm going to use 100 because it's easy to do the math. And if I see three extra patients every day, that's an extra 300 a day, 1500 a week, 6,000 a month. And it will only cost you 1500 to get me a scribe. So get me a scribe, right? And there are people who have brought institutional change where the whole institution is like, oh my goodness, let's get scribes for all these doctors. So even as an employed physician, understanding that, right? If you own your own private practice, you're in a position where you determine the way you want to serve your patients. Maybe there's some unique way you've wanted to do it. You can do that. And you uncap your earning potential. Maybe, like me, I have my own, private practice that I've had for the last 13 years. But at this stage in my life, I'm like, what I really, really, really want to do is I want to help doctors build profitable businesses so they can live life and practice medicine on their terms. I have the freedom to do that because I figured out the money thing, right? I'm uncapped. Nobody can say, if you do that, then we won't pay you this or that, none of that. And so for something that is not traditional, I can say that's what I want to do because I can build a business system around it. And I can figure out the money, so I have the freedom to do it. And so, money's not everything. Someone said money's not everything, but it's right up there next to oxygen. But it's not everything. But there is, it's hard to have freedom without financial freedom, right? And
Agreed.
so the
When you
more we
talk
lean
about
into that, the more we create true autonomy.
agreed. And so when we talk about autonomy and financial independence, I think a lot of that is interwoven with physician burnout and feeling a sense of individual freedom when you're practicing medicine. I love the example you provided with the margins, and I think that's very astute for that, for those listening, that understanding the value of your time also means understanding the relative dollar spent of your time as well. And I think that was very important that you had mentioned that. Can you provide some examples of physician success stories whereby clicking that mindset shift where you understand high value time, low value time, you're able to unlock the financial potential and a sense of autonomy?
Yeah, so when it comes to, for instance, I have some docs who are in private practice. And in the Entrepreneur Business School, we're really big on a concept, called revenue generating activities. And it's like you will always have more things to do than you will have time to do them. Always. And so the more you can lean into spending more of your time doing revenue generating activities, things that actually affect the bottom line, things that actually lead to profit, things that lead to, growth in the number of patients or clients that you're serving, then the more you'll be able to do in less time, right? Where people will be saying, you're everywhere, you're doing all the things that you really aren't, right? And not just RGAs, revenue generating activities for themselves, but RGAs for their teams as well. So I have people in private practice who, they were seeing all the patients. They were doing, other things that people on their team could do. And we're like, okay, let's get in here. Let's get you doing RGAs. Let's get your team doing RGAs. And there's so many cases of doctors. Like I have doctors who, one of them is, I won't say her name so I can tell her story. Let's do it that way. So, and she started her private practice. She had been in the business school for about 6 months before she started. And in her first year, she had 3,200 patients in 1 year on her panel. But that was because she understood as the CEO of this practice, my job is to market so I can fill up my panel. My job is to bring a team on board so that team can do all the things that I don't have to do, right? Things that they can do because I'm the most expensive person on my team. So I'm leveraging my team to do all of those things. And then we're serving the patients at the highest capacity. We're saying no to services and procedures that look good on paper, but they actually cost me money. They're not profitable in any way, right? And so just doing things like that put her in a position where she was able to grow massively. And she was able to have more time. And so she's like, my marriage is better. I get to go do lunch with my kids, you know, at school and all of these things because of that simple thing of focusing on as an entrepreneur, right? Because this is entrepreneurial thinking. I do the things that are the best use of my time, like the vital few, and I delegate the trivial many, right? I have someone else who is a coach, and she's a coach. She has ADHD. She helps doctors who have ADHD figure out this whole charting thing, organizing their time and all those things, because that's a major thing, you know, of burnout. She had 200 to 300 undone charts at any time. And
Wow.
before she decided, oh my goodness, I want to help doctors do this as well. And then she started doing this again, folk thinking like an entrepreneur. What are the vital few? I have to tell people what I do. I have to give them an opportunity to work with me, which means ask them to work with me. And then I have to serve them at the highest level, which is what she started doing. And she, you know, I'll say her numbers because she said her numbers as a full-time employee, started a coaching business on the side and able to generate $171,000 in a
Wow.
year, right? And it's all because of that thinking as an entrepreneur. Now, it's not just the RGAs. There is the thing of understanding that failure is part of success. And so instead of having a failed project and it stops you for 2 weeks, it stops you for a day. You know what I mean? Because you
Yeah.
understand this is just part of it. So getting that way of thinking as an entrepreneur, way of acting, the habits of an entrepreneur, just set you up whichever way you decide to go, that you're successful. And the margins work so you can have financial freedom. And I think I should maybe stop here and say this because sometimes, you know, as doctors, it's like, well, I'm not in it for the money. I don't really want to talk about money and all of those things. But the truth of the matter is, medicine, there's always been money conversations in medicine. The reason
Yeah.
why we think we don't have to have it is because we were shielded from it, right? Because what we do is, you know, we get a job. You know, we get to work in the morning, park in the parking deck, get our coffee, go in, relax in our office for a little bit, start seeing patients. And we do that day after day. And then after 2 weeks, there's money in our bank account. So that's magic, right? And so we think that we can help people and not talk about money. We can help people and not sell, not market. But the truth of the matter is, we were just removed from the conversation because
Yeah.
somebody collected a copay. Somebody marketed for that patient to come in. Somebody's sending the bill to the insurance company. Someone is doing collections on the other end. All these things were happening. We were just told stay in our lane. And we can see how that
Yeah.
worked for us, right? It didn't. And so I'd invite anyone who's listening to go like, we live in an economic world. We cannot escape the money conversation. Hiding from it is what brought us here, where doctors are some of the highest paid people, but don't have financial security. Where in the midst of a pandemic, the greatest medical crisis of our time, doctors were collecting unemployment checks.
Yeah.
We need to get back into that conversation.
It's interesting. Now, as a physician listening to this and speaking hypothetically, I've been able to do everything on my own throughout my entire life. You know, go through medical school, residency, start my own practice, all of these things. Why do I have to have someone to guide me? Why can't I just take the time and figure out what's high value, what's revenue generating, what's value creation, and sort it out on my own. Talk a little bit about kind of the cognitive biases that we have and why we need somebody to kind of show us our own value.
Well, I mean, I think part of it is our training. And I don't say that to mean, you know, there's some big conspiracy and somebody deliberately said, I'm going to handicap doctors and, you know, but our training is such that, first of all, we had no money conversations. Okay. So we grew up in a reality that doesn't really exist. This magic it doesn't really exist. And so that really makes money drama like real drama for us, right? And so we're like, marketing is not professional. Selling is not professional. Asking people for money is not professional. We are here to help. It is such a damaging paradigm because it's not grounded in reality. Like, it just isn't, you know? Secondly, when you think about, you know, the, you know, like the Stark's laws and all of these kind of things, they're not bad. But it just makes it seem like I shouldn't do something and get paid for it. And it's deeply, so deeply ingrained. And so if someone were to, for instance, in the business world, affiliate marketing is a whole business model, right? Somebody would, has a relationship with someone with a complementary business, and you promote their business and you get paid for it. It's almost impossible for doctors to understand it because they're like, it's a kickback. I'm like, no, it's not a kickback. Like in the business world, this has been here forever. That is a way of thinking, but because of the way we're trained, we just don't. And then I think, when you're dealing with human beings and you're dealing with, life, you aim for perfection, like you better. Like if you're a brain surgeon, you don't want to go in and say, no matter how many times I fail, failure is something you do on the way to success, right? Right? Your job is to be perfect. And then perfection is a recipe for disaster in the business world, right? Because you are going to have many failed projects on the way to that huge breakthrough, right? And so developing a new relationship with failure where you're okay with it. Like you take calculated risk, right? Like you're not acting crazy, but you don't let failure stop you. It doesn't mean that you're a bad doctor or anything like that, because it is, failure for entrepreneurship is kind of like failure for the one-year-old walking, right? Take three steps, fall, take three steps, fall. Everybody celebrates the walking. Nobody says, oh my God, it fell. Let's go see what to do. You know what I mean? And so because of our training, it's almost in a way anti-business. Again, not intentional, and I think we're in this beautiful transition point, right? I talk a lot about Vision 2025, where I'm like, look, it may look bleak. There may be a lot of burnout, loss of autonomy, no financial freedom, and all of that, but things are changing and they're changing rapidly. And by 2025, what I'm working towards is that doctors are in a position where we are the leaders in healthcare inside and outside of the exam room, where we have financial security, where we fall in love with medicine again, where burnout is not a buzzword anymore, right? But the thing is, beautiful as this is, the problem is there are not a lot of examples. Right? The vast majority of conversations are around, I'm so sick of this, I just want to leave, I'm burnt out, this person replaced, my job was replaced with someone else, like all of those kind of things. And so it's important for us in this, who are the leaders of this movement, if you will, that we're in a place where it is common, where we can see examples of what is possible, right? Because it's so new and so different that you need immersion, right? Like, so I'm not really good at learning languages. I speak every language, I speak with an accent. But if somebody truly was like, we want her to learn Spanish, you may want to just take me to Spain and leave me there for a year. I'm immersed in the culture. The TV, what's coming off of that is in Spanish. The signs are in Spanish. When I go to the restaurant, it's all Spanish, right? I would learn much faster than if I went, down the street to do a Spanish class for 30 minutes twice a week. I need the immersion. As physicians, physician entrepreneurship is not the norm. In many places, it's not acceptable. Many places, it's like you sold out to the dark side. And we believed all these lies, like stay in your lane. Physicians don't make good entrepreneurs and stuff, that you need to be immersed in it. You need to be around people who are doing it. So even though your limiting beliefs are like, oh, I can't do something like that at all, by the time you watch the 50th person in 2 weeks do it, you're like, okay, hang on. What am I missing here? And it creates this almost positive peer pressure. It's not pressure, it's like almost positive peer inspiration, if you will. But we need that immersion because they're just not enough. They're not enough examples at all.
Interesting. Many would say that beyond just entrepreneurship or autonomy, at a more conceptual level, you're advocating for a mindset shift. You're really trying to encourage physicians to look at their career and their identity, their professional identity as physicians, differently. And I think that's very important to recognize because that's, in a way, that limiting factor is the way you identify yourself. Talk a little bit about how you help people identify who they are professionally and what they can do to achieve the goals that they set out.
So first of all, the place I like to start with is how amazing we are, not in a prideful way, right? Because the way I describe it sometimes is this. I'm like, you know, there's a Toyota Camry, there's a Rolls Royce, and there's a jet, okay? If you're a Rolls Royce, you should know you're a Rolls Royce. If you're a Rolls Royce and you think you're a Honda Civic, you're not helping anybody, right? You should know who you are. So when I say amazing, that's what I mean, because we're at this stage where a lot of physicians are like, you know, I wish I went to nursing school instead. And, you know, I hate that I'm a physician, such a waste of time and stuff like that. But I start from recognize who you are, understand who you are right now. And if you think about it, you know, most medical schools, the acceptance rate into medical school is 1 to 3%. As physicians, we're 1 percenters, like we're the 1 to 3% that got in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Think about our capacity to learn. Think about the size of our textbooks. Think about the number of procedures we learn. We have an unbelievable ability to learn. We have delayed gratification, which most people don't have. It took us over a decade, right, to become the doctors that we are. And we have the ability to go after a goal for over a decade and go through the challenges and the pain and all that to accomplish it, right? We are people who have, you know, yes, we're like, you know, we don't earn what we're worth and things like that. But think about the fact that if you have 10 physicians standing together, you're talking about a collective net worth of more than 8 figures.
Yeah.
How many other professions do you have 10 people standing together? You can say that. And so, yes, we have all these things going wrong, but understand the hurdles you've overcome, the thing you've done. In the United States, there are 1 million physicians, there are 352 million people. So you put 350 people in a room, if you divide the country equally, it's just you. You're it. And so we can't hold our heads down like, you know, oh, woe is us and all of this. We need to hold our heads high because that's who we are. Right?
Exactly.
Then starting from that, we now take inventory of what we have. So somebody may decide, you know, this is my, you know, my career. What I want to do is I want to work this job. I want to be in the hospital and all of that. Beautiful. Okay. But that also means that you have the opportunity to build a brand. You have an opportunity to be a speaker. You have an opportunity to be a spokesman for brands. You have an opportunity to do so many things. You have to understand, I've taken inventory. This is the opportunity I have, right? You may decide, you may say, you know, like, because of my experience, you know, I am a physician. I'm well-trained. I've done this. I want to go on and start my own practice. I have a number of clients who are like, I want to build the state-of-the-art, you know, like rheumatology practice in the greater Seattle area. I'm just pulling off what client said. And you go and you do that. You can do that because one, you have the training. Two, you have the experience. Three, you have the access to capital. Four, you have the access to a business education. So you can do it, right? And it becomes this opportunity that you have. Someone else may say, you know what? If I use myself as an example, well, you know, I built the business, I built a private practice, I learned the business skill, I've been helping other people start businesses and all these things. So I can take that on a big scale. Like that is something I have. It's not tangible. You can't touch it, but it's something I have. And I can use it to build EntreMD, which goes on to be the EntreMD Business School and the podcast and the books and all of those kind of things, right? And so, you know, first is identifying who you are. Two is identifying, taking an inventory, like based on my experience, my expertise, the training that I've had, what can I then leverage to take to the next level, right? It's not throwing away what we did. It's not leaving medicine. It's like, what do you want to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you take in, I help them take inventory of that. And then after that, we walk them through what we call, you know, the success path, and which has to do with, you know, the mindset, and then identify your profitable business idea, right? Because I say profitable because as doctors, at our hearts, we love to help. So we have no problem starting businesses that won't be profitable. We have no problem starting a business that's not profitable, taking a locum job to pay the expenses of the business. We don't do that in EntreMD Business School. I'm like, we serve and we earn in that order, but we do both, okay? So identifying what that is, and then how to build a business system. So the marketing, the team, the process around it. So then you can make it the profitable business it is, right? Like, so it's a trajectory like that. And so many people, I mean, it's so mind boggling what doctors have been able to do, the kind of business. And we're talking product-based business, service-based business, private practice, coaches, direct primary care, direct specialty care, like all kinds of things. And they're getting it done.
That's awesome.
Things are changing for the physician community. I'm excited.
That is pretty exciting. For those listening who may be interested in participating in your program, one of the questions that may come up is, what are some examples of actual businesses that have been started? One, and then two, what are some business endeavors that you see coming around the horizon in the next 5 to 10 years that a physician entrepreneur may be interested in?
Okay, so as far as examples, and a number of these are on my podcast. So we have Dr. Tolu. Dr. Tolu had been in private practice. I think she's at 18 months or so. So what she started was a private practice. She's family medicine out of Mansfield, Texas, and hit 4,000 patients within the first 18 months.
Wow.
Dr. Karen Kaufman, again, she's been on the podcast. She is an allergist. I was like, I've been thinking I want to start a private practice. Is this the time? She started her practice in 2020, okay? Which is like, huh, what were you thinking? Okay. But in the entrepreneurial business school, we decided not to participate. Okay. We were like, we're going to build thriving businesses regardless. And so she started her private practice. She just celebrated her second year anniversary on the 21st of January. I think she has crossed 3,500 patients. And yesterday we interviewed, she did an interview in one of our groups, and she had surpassed her salary as far as five in the first year, surpassed her salary as someone who has been an allergist for 5 years and paid back all her loans in the first
Wow,
year, right? And
that's awesome.
so she's done that. I've told you about the coach, Dr. Deanna, and that's the one who's working full time and helping doctors, and she's done $171,000. We have Dr. Rachel Rubin, big shout out to her. She is a urologist, sex medicine trained. And she started a direct specialty practice, and she talks about being profitable from day one. What mattered to her is paying off all her school loans, which she did that. Really living life and practicing medicine on her terms. And I do not believe she. I think she just hit her first year. Just hit her first year. There's a Dr. Heather Signorelli. She loves Excel spreadsheets, and she helps doctor with their revenue cycle. So that's her business, like a billing service, if you will. And she started the business school 6 months ago. And yesterday she was saying that they've almost surpassed their Q1 goals. And at the time of this recording, this is the last day of January, they already surpassed that. And she's like, I don't know, the rate at which we're going, we may actually surpass our annual goals at the end of Q1. We might need to set new goals, right? And so I could we've done over 220 patient doctors through the
Jeez.
business school at this point. So I could go on and on and on. Some are speakers, like that's what I want to do. I want to be a paid speaker. Actually, there's a doctor who she was like, my actual business grew up by 430%. She helps some clients with weight loss and wellness and weight loss. And she said, I did speaking to grow my primary business, right? Because that's one thing we talk a lot about, speaking, putting yourself out there, it's a big thing. And she was like, I was just looking at my numbers. I made $63,000 from speaking. That is not actually part of my business. It's just something I was doing to grow my primary business, right? And so it's thing after thing. And I don't want to paint a picture, right? I talked about the relationship with failure, that you just walk in and money starts falling on you. But there is a pathway, there is an algorithm, if you will, right, that you can follow to start creating success in your business. There are people who they are fully employed, and the thing is, sometimes people come in and they're like, I'm not sure what I want to do, but I want to do more. And I'm like, you're my person. That's the way I started. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to do more. And then they go on to start private practices, and you're like, wait, what happened? That's not what you came in here for. Or they become speakers, or they start doing events. And I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy, but crazy good though.
Well, I
Crazy
think it's
good.
a crazy good opportunity for people. So, with this last few minutes we have, can you let the audience know how they can get a hold of you and how they can enroll in your program?
Yeah, so I would give you three things, right? I'll give you three things. Now, the first thing is we have what we call the free MBA for physicians, which is the EntreMD podcast. And so you're right here. You're right here on the podcast platform. Just search for ENTREMD. And then, if you're like, I don't even know what she's talking about, start from there. Okay. And then we have, a book that we call the $16 MBA, and that is the EntreMD Method book. So same name, EntreMD Method book is $16, but there I talk about the roadmap, like from I don't know to this is how you promote it and market it and make it a household name and all of that. And then the EntreMD Business School is my year-long program. And this is who it's perfect for. If you are a physician, even if you're not sure, right? You're not sure what you want to do, how you pull it off, and all of that, but you are committed to thriving as a physician entrepreneur. You want to build a six, seven, multiple seven-figure business, then we are 1,000% committed to helping you make that happen. Okay. So it is an application process, it's application only. It's entremd.com/business. So that's entremd.com/business. I would love to have you.
And I will include those links at the bottom of the Daily Remedy podcast page as well. And so with that, Dr. Una, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.